Together we all take a very deep breath. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. We watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger, until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. We see for ourselves within this light a beautiful temple. We see a garden that surrounds the temple and a body of water that flows through the garden. We see that the inside of the temple is lit by the same beautiful golden light. We are here, for we have been drawn together by the power and in the presence of God. We devote our time spent together tonight, as well as our relationships to one another, to Him. We ask that His Holy Spirit, which is within our mind, so guide our thoughts and feelings and perceptions that we might grow into happier and more peaceful and more loving men and women. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, Amen.
Would you turn it down just a touch?
Okay. Tonight, I'd like to talk about magic and witches and witchcraft and miracles. There's a difference in the Course in Miracles between magic and miracles. Let's talk about what that is. First of all, this is some real basic Course in Miracles philosophy here. You know, the Course in Miracles tells us that... The Course in Miracles tells us that God did not create the body. You know how in the Bible it says God saw the physical universe and He said, that's good? Well, in the Course in Miracles, it's more like God saw it and said, oh, I wouldn't have done that. Because the Course says that God didn't do it. We did it. So let's talk first of all about what that means. The Course in Miracles says that God is all that is. It's all that exists. And God is an energy. God is an idea. It's the thought of love. So if God is all there is, then when God created us, He couldn't create something other than what He is. So when God created us, He merely extended of Himself. In His loneliness, He merely extended of Himself to have more of Himself because He was lonely. Okay? And that's true about you and me, too. You and I, when we're lonely, tend to think somebody else would fix it, when the truth of our sort of existential loneliness has to do with the fact that it is a fuller experience of ourself, which alone can fill that emptiness. Well, same with God. So the Course in Miracles says that God extended of Himself. Therefore, when God created us, since He just created more of Himself, all of the attributes of God are the attributes of you and me. Well, God's not physical substance. God is idea. So the Course in Miracles says that's what you and I are. And that's why you and I are immortal. That's why we're eternal. That's why we're essentially perfect, because God is. We're changeless. We're indestructible. Nothing has ever changed or will ever change or modify our essential being. But it's not physical substance. Because physical substance is dust to dust. Physical substance comes and goes. The body comes and goes. But we remain forever. That's the philosophy of the Course. But to say we live forever means that we, in our mind exists forever. And the body is like a suit of clothes that we wear. Right? Now, you know how Keith in that song was talking about the original sin? Let's talk about what the original sin really is. Sin is an archery term. It means you missed the mark. It's misperception. Sin means you misperceived. Just like we were talking this weekend a lot about Jesus because of that movie, The Last Temptation of Christ. And I was talking about a book called The Gnostic Gospels, which talks about very early Christian gospels that were buried for 1,600 years. And they were finally dug up in the 1940s in Upper Egypt. And they have to do with the gospels more mystically oriented, called Gnostic Gospels, that were not included in the Orthodox text that then became known as the Bible. And the Gnostic took a very different viewpoint of the story of the birth and death of Jesus than did the Orthodox view that came to prevail and become known as Christianity. Well, the one point I want to talk about here is, whereas the Orthodox viewpoint used words like sin and repentance, what the words that the Gnostics used, which would be the same as in the Course in Miracles, instead of sin, they used illusion. And instead of repentance, they used enlightenment. Sin implies you did something wrong and God wants to punish you. The enlightened, more esoteric viewpoint is you didn't do something bad. You're not a bad person, and so God wants to punish you. Rather, you misused your mind. Now, since your mind is part of God and all of the power of God is in you, you're in town. All of the power of God is in you. Then if God has the power, total creative power, then you have creative power. That means whatever you think will have reality. However, and so the Course in Miracles says there is no such thing as an idle thought. All thought creates form at some level. However, since God is all that exists and God is love, then when you're thinking love, that means you're co-creating with God. But if you're not thinking with love, and God or love is all that exists, when you're thinking without love, which you are free to do, because being part of God, you're free to will whatever you want to will, if you're not thinking with love, you're actually not thinking at all. Get that? You are hallucinating. So what the original sin was the original hallucination. The original sin was actually means that millions and millions of years ago, human consciousness, the consciousness of the extension from God's mind, one of the words you can use for it is Christ, thought something other than love. The original error. And from that, the Course says, arose an entire world. And it was in that moment was the Big Bang. That moment was the birth of the physical universe. Because what it was the Course in Miracles likens it to a sunbeam that began to think it was separate from the sun, or a wave that began to think it was separate from the ocean. Now, a sunbeam cannot make itself separate from the sun. A wave cannot make itself separate from the ocean. You cannot make yourself separate from God. There's no place where God stops and we start. However, what if the sunbeam could think that it was separate from the sun? So what this world is, the Course says, is like this illusion, which Buddha said long before Jesus got here, where we think we're separate. But because our thoughts are so powerful, the fact that we think it makes it very real for us. It's like a nightmare. When you're in a nightmare, it seems very real to you. Obviously, it's not real, but it wouldn't be a nightmare if it weren't for the fact that while you're in it, it seems very real. The Course in Miracles says it's something to use the fact that something feels real to you as a standard for reality is absurd. And we know that. You could think you could have a friend who's 5 hours late getting to your house and you're going through total hysteria because you think they're in a ditch somewhere. That doesn't mean they are in a ditch somewhere. And yet that emotional experience could be very true for you. Even physically, we watch an airplane take off and as it gets towards the horizon, it seems to get smaller. But it doesn't get smaller. It just looks to us like it does. Obviously, it's an optical illusion. For that matter, science tells us there's no such thing as dense physical reality. It just looks like there is. So science itself, which is beginning to agree with us more and more every day, makes it very clear to us that just the fact that we see something is not a standard for objective reality. So the Course in Miracles is not saying that you don't exist within this time and space continuum. We do. We have bodies and we exist within this time and space continuum. It's just telling us that this time and space continuum is itself a thought we thought up, just an idea we had. And Einstein said it too. Time and space are just a belief that we have. So the Course in Miracles says that the body, we look at the body in each other and we say, well, all right, you're in your body and I'm in mine, so obviously you and I are separate from each other. What the Course in Miracles says is, no, you're like two waves in the ocean because you're really mind. So there's no place where this man's mind stops and mind starts. He runs right into me and I run right into him. Physically, however, my physical senses tell me, oh, no, he's over there and I'm over here. Well, what my ego mind tells me is, well, since he's in his body and I'm in mine, obviously we're separate. What actually happened is that when we didn't even have bodies, we began to think we were separate. And that thought was so powerful, our minds are so powerful, that in that moment we both had walls around each other. So the wall came in response to the thought of separation. The thought of separation did not come in response to the wall. Does that make sense so far? Okay, so the Course in Miracles says that this physical universe is like a pseudo-reality. It's like a parallel universe. You know, we think, what if there are parallel universes, false universes paralleling this one? No, we're the parallel universe. We're the made-up universe paralleling the real one, okay? And the real you and me, which is this cosmic reality that exists within our mind, but which is not dominant in our conscious expression and experience of ourselves, is still existing totally fine, always has been, always will be, in the cosmic eternal reality plane. And what the point is of spiritual practice is to get to the point where, although we live within this illusion, through the realization that it is an illusion, we remember the truth about ourselves and then are at peace. So instead of it being that we're bad and to repent, you know, repentance means repenser, think again. So whereas even when the original meaning of the word sin, to repent meant think again, those words have become so loaded through belief and guilt and stuff that really to go back to that Gnostic description of illusion versus enlightenment is actually more helpful. This world, as I said, it's not that it's bad, it's that it's an illusion. And what enlightenment is not a change. Enlightenment is a recognition where we remember the truth. We don't exit this plane, we exist in this plane, and yet remember the truth about it. Okay? Now, what magic is where you're trying to change things in this world. You're trying to, I loved it when Rick told us, likened it to trying to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic. You're existing within the illusion, but you're trying to rearrange the furniture here. Because you think that if you could make circumstances different within this world of illusion, you would be happy. And the Course in Miracles says that actually happiness comes from giving up the illusion entirely. Now, don't get me wrong, because the Course in Miracles does say that the step towards enlightenment is where this world turns from a bad dream to a happy dream. So it's not that the Course in Miracles doesn't want our experience of the illusion to be happy. The Course in Miracles says that God wants you to have everything within the realm of the illusion that, number one, would make you happiest here, but number two, would make you happy without keeping you more attached to it. Right? You can see that. Let's say money. It wants you to have enough money to be really happy, but not so much money. You know, if you had too much money, some people, that would make them more attached to this world. Right? So I want you to have just the amount of things that would make you exist real happily here, but without it keeping you more tied to the illusion. Okay? Now, the Course in Miracles talks about our becoming miracle workers. And what a miracle is a shift in perception. Sin to repent. If you take it to mean illusion to enlightenment, what the way out of illusion is that you recognize that you've been merely mistaken in your thoughts and you choose again. So a miracle worker is someone who chooses again. And the only thing to choose again about is for the sunbeam to say, oh, I'm not separate from the sun. For the wave to say, I'm not separate from the ocean. For you and I to realize we're not separate from each other. We're not separate from God. To say that we're not separate from one another means our love is not separate from one another, because the love in you and me is who and what we are. So the miracle worker is someone who has chosen again in the way we think. And we go into any situation, and our priority, our devotion and our dedication is not to rearrange the furniture here, not to change the circumstances of the illusion, but rather to love. Knowing that the healing of the world will not come about because we change the furniture. The healing of the world will come up because we switch entirely on a whole, we shift gears on an entirely different level of consciousness. Because this world is not where things are caused. This physical world is not the level of cause. This physical world is the level of effect. The mental world is the level of cause. Let's take an example. We get rid of all the nuclear bombs. We work really hard and we do a lot of peace, you know, work, and we get enough petition signed and we work politically. Not that this stuff isn't important, because the hour is late, we have to work on every front. But if you want to get bottom line about it, just getting rid of all the nuclear bombs is not enough. Because if you don't get rid of the hatred in our hearts that would make us think up such things as nuclear bombs, then even if we get rid of all the nuclear bombs, we will be passing on to our children the hatred in their heart. In our hearts, so they'll come up with something at least as bad as nuclear bombs, which, by the way, is the meaning in the Bible of how the sins of the parents are handed down to the children, meaning the misperceptions are handed down. Our parents hated the Russians, they taught us to hate the Russians, right? The misperceptions are just handed down. So really, the only way to bring peace to the world is not to get rid of the bombs, but to get rid of the hatred in our hearts, right? Ultimately. So that's what the miracle worker is about. The magician is someone who is trying to make things happen differently out there. The miracle worker is someone seeking to make things different in here. So the level of the miraculous is a sort of higher evolutionary plateau than the level of magic. The way the Course in Miracles puts it, it says, miracles should be involuntary. They should not be under conscious control. Consciously selected miracles can degenerate into non-creative use of the mind or magic. So, for instance, if you focus enough on a chocolate brown Mercedes, you'll probably get it, actually. But that doesn't mean you'll be happy when you do. You see what I'm saying? Or like the man who said to me, and also, what the Course in Miracles says is if you think you have to consciously choose miracles, if you think you have to consciously make things happen within this realm, because otherwise it's like if you think I have to make things happen a certain way in this realm, what you're really doing is coming from a scarcity mentality, because what the root assumption behind that is if I don't control and direct things that happen on this plane, I won't be taken care of. So that's a scarcity mentality. The Course in Miracles says the universe is set up to make you happy. That's the crown of creation, your happiness. Embryos become babies. Seeds become flowers. Embryos become babies. Planets revolve around the sun. But that's nothing compared to the ultimate creative act, and that's God's willing your happiness. Your happiness is the crown of creation. And you don't have to direct the show. Not only does the Course say that God's plan, if you don't interfere, will work, it also says yours won't. It's like the man who said to me in New York, he stood up when we were talking about this one night, and he said, I don't get it. I have been writing every night before I go to sleep. I've been writing down, I have a regular part on Hill Street Blues. I have a regular part on Hill Street Blues. I have a regular part on Hill Street Blues. He said, are you telling me that's bad? I said, no, we're not saying it's bad. It wouldn't be our job to say that it's bad. As a matter of fact, if you write that every night for a year, you probably could get yourself a regular part on Hill Street Blues. All we're saying is that the way the universe works, it wouldn't surprise us if the day comes when the universe on its own has a major part for you in a major feature, but they can't get you. You're not available. You're under contract for this for stunking a little part on Hill Street Blues. Right? So the way of magic, you know, some people talk about the distinction between black magic and white magic. Well, white magic, I don't know how people who aren't Jews and don't have these words communicate. The way of even white magic is still the way of self-will. And the metaphysical community is full of white magicians, actually. And a lot of paths that are real into white magic talk about themselves and talk about the Course in Miracles in the same breath. That's fine, but it's people who haven't really read the book because they don't belong in the same breath. You know, this sort of like shishi metaphysics kind of, you know what I mean? Mecca is Beverly Hills. You just kind of feel it. And it's definitely, you know, anything that reminds you that the power of the mind works, that's absolutely true, that the power of the mind works. But I'll give you an example. A lot of people who heal from this perspective are liable to get sick. Let's talk about why that is. Because what causes illness? Illusion causes illness. The Course in Miracles says that when we that the problem with this world is body is that we are into body identification rather than spirit identification, which is the same thing as saying we think this illusion is real. We exist in this body and we think I am my body. Now the Course says you're not your resume, you're not your grades, you're not your parents, you're not your car, you're not your salary, you're not your mistakes, you're not your house, you're not any of the attributes of your physical life, you're not your diseases, you're not your obsessions, you're not your addictions, you're not any of the list of characteristics that you think are the real you. What you are is a totally innocent child of God. You are spirit. You are thought in the mind of God. Now, the Course says that when we say about the body, that the body was not created by God, the body was made by us, and we're clear about why, right? Well, the Course in Miracles says that does not mean the body's bad. Once again, you see how traditional Christian thinking got all messed up, and people thought, oh, the body is bad. The Course says that doesn't mean the body's bad. The point is merely that the body is nothing. Now, what the Course in Miracles says about this illusion, this world of the illusion, is not that it's bad. Nothing of this world is inherently good or bad. Whether it is holy, meaning whole or natural, meaning in service of love or not, has to do with which part of the mind uses it. One part of the mind is still in touch with God. The other part of the mind is lost in illusion. The part of the mind still in touch with God is called the Christ mind. It's called the Holy Spirit. You can call it whatever you want. Those are just the Christic philosophical descriptions of it, but that's no better or worse than any other language. The part that is lost in illusion is what the Course calls our fearful mind, the mind that is split off and sees itself as separate. And that's called the ego. And the whole point of the ego in seeing itself as separate, it's all about my body, my job, my car, my past, my diseases, me, 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 okay? Now, the Course in Miracles says that that body identification is the problem. When we are identifying with ourselves as spirit, we say, hey, I'm just love. I remember I once said to God, how enlightened can a Jewish woman from Texas be? And the answer I got back was, not very. As long as you think of yourself as a Jew, or think of yourself as a woman, or think of yourself from Texas, to that extent, you are not enlightened. You are none of those things. Those are just attributes in a certain little space and time continuum that are just about a suit of clothes you're using now. The essential you is none of those things. Enlightenment is realizing we're none of those characteristics or attributes. When we go through our lives thinking that we're spirit, rather than identifying with those specific bodily attributes, then the Course says we see the body in its proper perspective. And seeing it in its proper perspective, that means that we exist in this illusion, but we give all aspects of it. In our minds, we surrender it to the Holy Spirit to use for his purposes. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Course says that millions of years ago, when we first manufactured this illusion, the moment that we did it, God placed within our minds what in this terminology is called the Holy Spirit, the eternal communication link between himself and his separated sons. So that while we were hallucinating, while we're lost in this parallel universe, while we're lost in this illusion, there's like this silver cord from our insane thinking to our corrected thinking. It's not like we were bad and we're made good. It's that we're lost in wrong-mindedness and we'll return to right-mindedness. So the Course says the Holy Spirit is the place in our mind which exists within the realm of the illusion with us, and yet uses the things of the illusion to take us out of it. The Course in Miracles is an illusion. Our bodies are an illusion. This church is an illusion. But when we gather our bodies in this church reading the Course in Miracles, we are using something of an illusion to take us out of it. Does that make sense? So, the Course in Miracles says, when we go anywhere with no purpose but to love, then the Course says the body is given to the Holy Spirit for his purposes, and then it is a holy thing because it's used by the holy part of the mind. And in fact, the Holy Spirit says, I need your hands, I need your feet, I need your voice. There are people who will hear things from you and me that wouldn't hear it from an enlightened master. There are people that we're perfect for the people who will get it from us. We're perfect, exactly where we are. So the Course in Miracles says that the issue is that when we give this world to him, then it's turned into a happy dream, and that's the final step before enlightenment. Magic, however, is when you go into any situation, and instead of seeing yourself only there to love and to be loved, you were there in order to make things happen a certain way. It's the difference, let's say you're going in for a job interview. The way of magic is to program and to treat to get the job. The way of the surrender, the way of miracles, is to go into the job interview and say, hey, I don't know, not to them, but in your own mind, I don't know what's supposed to happen here. I have no goal except peace. I have no goal except the peace of God. I completely surrender this to the Holy Spirit. I'm only going here to love. I'm only going here to love and to receive love, and I don't know what is supposed to happen. If I start consciously trying to get in there, I might call that white magic to say, oh no, this is good. I'm treating for good things. But still, it's self-will if you're trying to make things happen a certain way on the earth plane and you don't know the what would be best. And the reason I'm saying that the white magician is liable to get sick is because even if the white magician is out healing for symptoms to be relieved, the very fact that you think that change has to do with the change of the symptoms means that you are attached in your mind to this world, and being attached to this world, the Course says, is what places a burden on the body that the body is not meant to carry, and that produces illness. Does that make sense? So it's not like we don't go places and do things. It's not like the Holy Spirit, you know, it's not like, well, we're not of the realm of the body, so we're just going to sit around all day and watch bad TV and eat bad food because what does it matter? That's not the issue at all. When you give your life to the Holy Spirit, you know, a lot of people do say, hey, you know, I started the Course in Miracles and now I feel like I've completely lost all ambition. But what I say to people all the time is that there is a switch from ambition to inspiration. Because it's true, we do tend to go through a period where, you know, the Course makes it really clear, you know, if you're just doing it to make the money or you're just doing it to get worldly power, you're just doing it for any of that stuff, there's absolutely no point. Those are completely, you know, worthless values that mean nothing. And so you do kind of go through the period of like, you know, it's like getting off white sugar because you're not motivated by the same thing about a quick high. So when you go from white sugar to healthy food, you're actually going to something which gives you more energy, but it takes you a little bit longer. So doing something for the realm of the body and what it's going to get you in the realm of the body is like white sugar. It's a quick high, but you can also crash from it. Whereas good food is like doing something for the sake of the healing of the world, the miracles brought forth by the Holy Spirit, which ultimately energizes you more. It's true that you're no longer doing it to get the money for you or get the power for you, but you're doing it for a much more glorious reason, which actually is a much stronger motivation, and that's that you really get that all suffering could be gone. You really get that this world is going to be beautiful, that that's coded into God's plan, and our only choice is how long it takes. And that through our having a different mentality, it can happen sooner rather than later. So you know how in Zen Buddhism, they have an expression called Zen mind or beginner's mind. And what that means, in Zen Buddhism, they talk about an empty rice bowl and making your mind like an empty rice bowl. And it says that if there's already rice in the bowl, then the universe can't fill it. But if you've got an empty rice bowl, the universe can come in. And that's the same thing as in the Bible when it says, be ye as little children. To be as little children, the Course says, you know, little children don't think they know what anything is for. So they ask someone older and wiser and more experienced to explain things to them. And the Course says that should be our relationship to the Holy Spirit. We go into any situation and we don't know what anything is for. We don't know what's supposed to happen. We're only existing there in total love. Just that's the only reason we're there. And in that, the Course in Miracles says, that's what happens when your conscious mind steps back and the higher power leads the way. In the magic, in the mind of the magician is where you're still very much in there trying to lead the way. And you might be telling yourself, oh, but I'm doing this for other people's good. You know what? That's the story of, don't you? One of the most, something which is unfolded at certain times in history with the most destructive capacity of any other institution, organized religion. That is what organized religion started with, the best of intentions, right? No, this is good for them. This will help them. And that is always, it's the mind of self-will imposed on this world. So the mind of the miracle, the Course in Miracles says that the meek shall inherit the earth because their strength will literally take the place over. The miracle worker doesn't go into a situation and try to make anything happen. The miracle worker is someone in whose presence all hell breaks loose. If that's what needs to happen. The miracle worker is someone in whose presence everything happens to make the shift from fear to love. Why? Because they themselves have made the shift from fear to love. All minds are connected. The Course in Miracles says for you to be a teacher of God, to teach is to demonstrate, and God is love. So when you walk into any situation and your only thought is to give love and receive love, the Course in Miracles says the primary responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for himself. The atonement is the correction of your own perception brought about by the power of the Holy Spirit within you. So you go in, as does a little child, you go in with an empty mind, Holy Spirit, I surrender this to you. It is the ultimate taking of responsibility for a situation because it is the ultimate taking of responsibility for your thoughts about it. Holy Spirit, change my thinking if it needs to be changed. Allow me only to see the love in every person here. Allow me only to see the love in every person here. And what that does then is just silently, if need be, if you're supposed to say something as you say something, but just on an invisible plane, other people are brought into that same space because you've allowed yourself to be there. That's why consciousness growth is never about getting other people to get there. It's always about taking care of yourself. Now, you see, that's why miracles, in every situation, the only thing that you need if you have a problem is a miracle, and why miracle always has to do with forgiveness of other people. I know a man who's always complaining about not being able to get the right job. He's always complaining about not being able to get the right job. And I'm always saying to him, love your brother, love people, forgive people. You know, the Course in Miracles, no matter what your problem, you open the book, forgive your brother, forgive your brother. Sometimes you want to throw it across the room, enough already, forgive my brother, I have this bill to pay, right? But the point is with this man, I say it to people all the time, if you have problems with money, you have problems with career, you have problems with your body, you're always looking for all these areas of your life where you have a problem, but the truth of the matter is where you have a problem is in your personality. This man is always calling me and talking about how he lost this job or that job. Why? A fight with somebody in the office. Why he made somebody in the office angry. Why he rubbed somebody the wrong way. So he thinks these are career issues. It's not career issues. It has to do with softening and perfection of our own personality. That's why the Course says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, all else will be added unto you. Seek heaven is your awareness of oneness with other people. And then everything without conscious effort will fall into place. The career will fall into place. The money will fall into place. The health will fall into place. The relationships will fall into place. The problem is not not in those areas as you see them. As you see them out there, that's the realm of the effect. For you to try to change things out there is like going to the movies, not liking the plot, and think, well, I'm going to go up to the screen and try to change the action in this flick. But you can't do that. The action, the movie, is merely projected onto the screen. And what happens out there is merely a projection of what happens in here. So the way of the magician is to try to change the things out there. And nobody here is even saying that's bad. It's just a detour. It's a lower evolutionary plateau. And, you know, sometimes you're sort of at work in every area. But know that just because someone is talking about the healing of the world, that if the attitude, the attitudinal perspective is still coming from what I'm doing about it, you're lost if you think it's about you as a separate entity. For instance, when we heal in the Course in Miracles, if somebody comes to you for healing, you don't heal anybody. The Course in Miracles says you, of yourself, can do nothing for the salvation of yourself or others, but of the power of the Holy Spirit within you, you can do everything for the salvation of both. The ego-oriented teacher or healer says, come unto me, I will heal you. The person who heals through miracles knows that if someone comes to us, we're a blessing to them, but they're a blessing to us. We don't heal anybody. The power of God heals through anybody who allows their mind to be used as a conduit. And allowing your mind to be used for conduit, it doesn't matter who you are, you just stood forth loving. That's why when Jesus healed the lepers and they said to him, how dare you heal these people? He said, would you have rather, instead of saying I heal you, I just said I forgive you? What it meant, he just saw the love in them. Jesus just would see the love in people and he'd know so clearly, get on such a deep level that nothing else existed. Leprosy doesn't exist because it's not of love. Then in his presence, the leper got it too. In his presence, the leper was incapable of believing in leprosy because Jesus really didn't believe in it. And so in his presence, their leprosy was gone. That's the miracle worker. It was not an exertion of Jesus' will to get rid of the leprosy. It was not an exertion of his will to make the fish and to make the loaves or to turn the water into wine. In his presence, those things just happened because he was so aligned with the power of God's love that that shift in his own perception was enough to shift every molecule and every aspect, heaven and earth, around him in order to reflect back as evidence and manifestation of where his mind was. Does that make sense? So the magician mentality is not particularly humble. It's kind of bogus. It's kind of ego-filled. The way of the miracle worker is very humble because we realize when we are in that place that we're not trying to make anything happen. We're trying to allow things to happen through us. Do you see the difference? It's not ambition. It's inspiration. It's not taking the ball and running with it. It's like having an angel pushing you from behind. You're not trying to make anything happen or impose anything on anybody or anything. You're just there. You're just showing up. And it's like we've talked here many times about Pollyanna. Don't be a Pollyanna. Pollyanna is a perfect example. All those in fairy tales, a lot of times just the purified soul, just the innocent person in whose presence things really changed, in whose presence toxins were released, in whose presence people shifted on a very deep, deep level. And that will mean when you go through your life, and all of us are asked here to go out into our lives from this point forward, just like when Jesus said to the disciples, go out into the towns and spread the gospel. And they said, what will we say? And his answer was, I'll tell you when you get there. Well, each and every one of us are supposed to leave here tonight and go out and spread miracles this week, wherever you are. What are you supposed to say? What are you supposed to do? I don't know. He'll tell you when you get there. You don't have to plan it. You don't have to be concerned about your own readiness, he says. Just be consistently aware of his. And that means that the highest point of power is a point of real spontaneity. But you can only be spontaneous when you don't have an investment in the result. You can only be spontaneous when you have no investment in anything except living your love and relaxing into that present moment. And some people probably will not recognize your power. Fine. It doesn't matter. We're like a spiritual underground. We're like a spiritual underground. If you were in the French underground during World War II, you wouldn't go up to a German SS officer and say, hi, Andre, French underground. No. He doesn't have to know. You know what I'm saying? We are changing. It's literally changing the world from the deepest level. We're, you know, it is the greatest revolution. It is the greatest assault on the status quo. But fine, if they don't know, don't get them upset. You see what I'm saying? This is the deep work of change. And it might not have to do with anything you say. It might not have to do with anything you do, verbal content. It might not have to do with actions. But it always has to do with how we use our minds. And if you and I go out from our lives tonight and we go through our experiences in our life knowing that everything that happens to us is a lesson in order for us to learn how in every situation to think love for everyone involved, to know that that is our highest allegiance, to know that that is the only reason we are in any situation, even when it's difficult, because we are being trained to be people who don't just love when it's easy. And, you know, even the course, Jesus would say, oh, even the tax collector can love when it's easy. But to know that even the trials that you and I go through are trials in order for us to have to get to the point where we're willing to put love first, even when it's not easy, we become people of extreme power. It's not the power of that realm. It's not the power of the magician. It's the power of the miracle worker. And they might not notice now, but you just watch how your invisible effect will grow in your world. That's the real meaning of charisma. Charisma was originally a spiritual term, like the charismatic Catholics, when somebody just has a power and you can't define it. And other people will say, aren't you lucky to be so charismatic? And you'll know that you weren't lucky to be so charismatic. You'll know you practiced. You practiced. You consciously sought through prayer, through meditation, through spiritual practice, putting love first. And when you do that, you do end up bringing forth into manifestation the effects of love. But what the effects are is none of your business. How they materially flow forth is none of your business. Sometimes it will seem after a miracle worker has, like I said, sometimes a miracle worker goes into a situation and all hell breaks loose. Do you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes a miracle worker is brought forth into a situation, and what it does, it's like when Jesus stood in front of a crazy person and just cast the devils out. Sometimes in the presence of the miracle worker, in the presence of the light-filled person, see what happens in the presence of the light-filled person. I always say two things bring up darkness in people: your darkness and your light. So as you become more light-filled, people's stuff becomes magnified in your presence. Their darkness and their light. They go faster into their light, but they also grow into their darkness, that which needs to be exposed and needs to come out. Does that make sense? It's like when I've shared here many times that when I invited God into my life, I thought it was the power of magic. I felt like my house was like this, my life was like this house, and I invited God in. And then, you know, I get new shutters and I get a new paint job and maybe a new roof and a pretty little portico. And my emotional experience was like I invited God into my life, and within the months there was this wrecking ball that was just tearing the whole thing down. My whole life seemed to fall apart, and it felt to me like the universe was saying, sorry, honey, there were cracks in the foundation. Thought we'd better just start all over again. Because there were cracks in the foundation, and when I invited God into my life, that meant there had to be some major cleaning going on here. There had to be some major transformation. And so often when a miracle worker is in a situation not trying to make anything happen, just happening in love, major rumblings begin to occur, because major rumblings have to occur in the foundation of this world. But it's not for us to judge. It's not for us to say what they are. It's not for us to do anything in any situation except to give love. It's our job, it's our mission to forgive, to know that that's the only reason we're in any situation. Whether the effects of that are brought forth materially or emotionally or psychologically or spiritually is none of our business. Our business is not the realm of effect. That's the work of the magician. Our work as miracle workers, the Course says, is the realm of cause. For us to be at cause in a situation means for us to simply show up as children, humbly, not asking for anything except the peace of God that comes from giving love and receiving love. That is the creative aspect of the world. That is why Jesus was born as a little child, as a defenseless child, simply as someone totally defenseless, totally vulnerable, but in whose presence the entire world was saved. Thank you very much. Amen. Thank you.